signpost up here. The seven deadly sins, and it's a part of our observance of Lent, that season before Easter, where we are, where we come to really realize our sin, and we come to realize what that's all about. But it's a little bit more than that, because we need to know how serious it is as well. Because I have a feeling that if you're anything like me, sometimes you say, well, yeah, I sin. Yes. And you don't really say, so what? But it's such an integral part of your life. You see, and we have to understand how serious it is, what it means to be a sinner, when God is telling us to be holy. Now, and that's because we moved backward from God. We moved backward from the way that He made us to be originally. He has not turned away from us. We have turned away from Him. His love for us hasn't stopped. It hasn't diminished one bit. And that's the point of this sermon series as well. You see, we're not going to be, because sin is an ugly thing. Sin is a very ugly thing. But God's grace is so much more beautiful and so much better. And so today, we begin with pride. Pride. Now, first of all, I think it's probably the best idea if we get a sense of what we're talking about when we talk about pride. Because what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you say, when you hear the word pride today? The LGBTQ community, right? Rainbow flags. We're not talking about that today. We also aren't talking about the pride that you show in happiness with accomplishment. Okay? So say you're an artist and you make this wonderful depiction, this wonderful painting, and you're just putting the final touches on your painting. You're going, you know what? This looks pretty good. I'm happy with myself. I'm proud of my accomplishment here. Or you're looking at, say, you're a little bit more handy with engines, and you tear apart a motor, and you're going to rebuild this engine. And so you take the heads off, and there's the pistons are exposed. Then you take out the rocker, the rockers and the lifters and the push rods, and the pistons come out. You take out the crank, and you have it all machined down, and you put it all back together again. And you have this sense of pride when you turn the key. And you hear this 427 revving up, all eight cylinders of it. That's pride. But that's not what we're talking about today either. The pride that we're talking about today is this idea that we are over and above everyone else. That we are clawing to get our way to the top. That we want to be number one. That's the pride that we're talking about today. And I think that this pride is the launch pad for all of the other sins. This is the original sin, as we've depicted, as Al depicted when he read it from Genesis 3. This is the original sin. And Karen and I saw an example of this, and I'm going to ask Fran if she would put a picture on the screen of the pyramids of Giza. Now, we saw a picture of this when we were in Israel, because those three pyramids that you're seeing in the background there, behind the three little guys, those three pyramids were built one at a time, of course. The first one was the biggest one, the Great Pyramid, and it was built tall, and it's huge. It really is. It's huge. And right after that, the next king came into power, and he wanted to make a better and bigger pyramid. But he didn't make it bigger. He just put it on a higher plane. You see? And that's what you're seeing there. The first pyramid in the picture
is actually bigger than the second pyramid behind it.
So he put it on a higher plane. It's not quite as big, but it's on a higher plane, so it's taller. The third one in the background there was overlaid with granite, so it wasn't bigger, it wasn't taller, but it was certainly built better. It was certainly more ornate. And then this is very early in the Egyptian history. And then later on in history, we go to Ramesses II. And Ramesses II built a temple at Abu Simbel. A temple that looks like this. Its entranceway looks like this. And it's huge. But this temple is quite unique in the way that those four pictures, those four images that you see there on the front, those four are all pictures of Ramses at one point or another in his life. You see, this is a temple, but the temple's not to any type of god, it's to Ramses, who is essentially saying then, I am God. And if you go inside this temple, and you go to the most holy place inside this temple, like we know from the Israelite temple, we have the priest or the people court, the priest court, and the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. If you go, then that was right in the center of the temple. If you go right to the center of this temple, you'll see four images, the same four images, all of Ramses. And the light would shine through at a certain point at two times of the year. On Ramses' birthday and on the day of his ordination. And it would shine right through the front door of the temple and shine right inside the Holy of Holies, right on Ramses' face. Are you kidding me? This guy had an ego, huh? Yeah, because he wanted to be God. He's depicting himself as God. Look at the gentleman right here at the very bottom here, the gentleman holding his head like that. Even the feet are way up above anybody's head, depicting a very thing. I am above everybody. I'm over everyone. Now, this is an extreme example of pride. Thank you, friend. This is an extreme example of pride. We're not like that, though, right? We're not like that at all. Well, if we take a look at the text today that Al read first, in Genesis, we get this, the picture of the Garden of Eden, of course. And Eve is there, and the snake's there, and the snake goes, well, did God really say, you're not really going to die, Eve? And of course, depending on, there's many commentators on that, whether Eve got the right information or not, but I'm not going to get into that. But Eve said that she couldn't even touch the tree or she would die. It's not quite right, not what Adam said. But the snake said, you will certainly not die, for God knows that when you eat from the tree with your own eyes, your eyes will be opened and you will be what? Like God. Like God, knowing good and evil. And that's the key here, see? Pride, it's ultimately wanting to be on top. To be like God? Not even. To be God. And ever since that day with Eve, human beings have been striving to get to the top. We are born with a desire to overcome, to lord it over others, to be served. You serve me. I am your master. You are my slave. You serve me, people. You serve me, God. The theologian and philosopher Augustine of Hippo and Martin Luther both call this the inward curve. The inward curve. We turn our love, our attention, everything that belongs to God, we just turn it around and point it right at ourselves. And we may have heard it said that you have to love yourself, right? You got to love yourself. Even Jesus tells us to love ourselves, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Because no one really ever hated themselves, right? That's what Jesus said. And yes, it's true that you have to love yourself. You have to feed and nurture this thing you call a body. Yes, you do got to do that. You got to take care of it. But we need to look at the end result of that love. If I am all about me, if I am the object of my love, then I can have no love for God. But it's only when we seek to do good and love our God that we truly love ourselves. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever notice that with God? The more that you give away, the more that you give to God and your neighbor, the more that you give, the more that you receive. It's not like you have a heart that you say, okay, when I give, then I'm going to get more. Because then that's still about you. But when you give with a heart that says, I want to give to you, without any expectation of it coming back, then you receive. And it's sort of weird. You give, and it comes back. And I'm sure that we all have many examples of that. So we are caught here, people. And before you start to think, okay, you know, PT, you got it right. You got it down to a science, okay. We're good. Can we move on now? Can you say amen already? No, I can't. Not yet. Because we need to know the seriousness of this. You know, because right from the very beginning, pretty much of humans' existence on this planet, we've been caught in this tension. And we get dragged. It's a tug of war, if you will, where we are moving back and forth between God and Satan. We've opted for Satan on the day of the garden, and ever since then, we've been subjected to this battle. Satan's trying to trip us up, trying to drag us down, and it's easy for him to do this. And God is saying, no, I have a better way. Follow me, and you will be better. It's spiritual warfare. It's a cosmic war between good and evil. And you know what? We're not only caught in the center of it, but we are active in this battle. With every choice that we make, we can choose to be prideful. We can choose to follow the pattern of this world. We can claw our way to the top. We can laugh at everybody that we step on. We can demean them. And we can push them off to the side. Get out of my way. I'm moving on up. Or we can choose the opposite. We can choose humility. Now, a little note about humility and humbleness. Humble, the word humble. Sometimes we get this definition for humility mixed up with humiliation. Humiliation. To be humble is not to be embarrassed. Okay? Is not to be humiliated. Or weak. We often see weakness with humbleness too. No, we're not weak. The weak or the humble aren't weak. And it's also not about self-deprecation. You don't beat yourself. The humble don't beat themselves up, you see. The humble know that they are worthy. Worthy of being a person, a child of God. Worthy as anyone else is. Worthy of being his child. And you know the great thing about that? Is that when we are humble, we are eye to eye. We are eye to eye. Because we are all on the same plane. And I'm going to borrow a little bit of terminology that I got from this week at classes. Believe it or not, I was listening at classes, which is pretty good. From John Vanderstoop, he said that when we are on the even plane, when he was talking about churches, but when we are on an even plane, we are in community. We are equal. That's where community reigns, is on an even plane, you see. And so we view everyone as equal. We're lifting one another up. We're complimenting a job well done. And we take compliments for jobs that we do well. How many times do we, and I have a problem with this, okay? How many times do we walk up to someone and say, you know, you've done a really good job, and that other person just says, I messed up here, I messed up there. I don't know, you know. No, if you've done a good job, you've done a good job. You can accept that. It's all right because you've done well. That's the self-deprecation part. I struggle with that a little bit. But can you see the difference? The humble love to serve. They love to serve others. They love to serve God. They love to lift others up. They love to give of their time and talent. Can you see the difference between the humble and the prideful? Can you see the difference? On one side we have, it's like day and night. It really is. Because on one side you got evil, and you got Satan, and and it's just wrong over there. It's everything all for me, everything for me. And on this side you have, well, we want to serve and we want to lift up. It's so night and day. And I heard it said, Scott Jose works. He's the director, I think, for Calvin's Center for Excellence in Preaching. And Scott Jose says, all this talk about humility and pride all has an essence of height to it. All the language has an essence of height to it. So when we look at the prideful, we might say, hey, you get off your high horse, for instance. Or don't you look down your nose at me. Or why don't you come down off your lofty throne? That type of thing. You see, because people try to lift themselves up. They try to get themselves over. When on the other side, the language of humility is opposite. Where we say stuff like, well, you've lifted me up with your kind words. Or, I look up to him like he's a mentor. You see, it's who's activating it, and because if we are activating, if we are lifting other people up, we are pushing that button, we are getting the action moving, we are lifting other people up, then we are indeed humble. It's when other people sit there and, no, I am on top, I am looking down. And when we have that, when we have this height thing going on, say you have this person looking down their nose at you. What's the disconnect here? There's no community. There's not a community with me and you if I'm looking down my nose at you. There's no community there. And that's not what Jesus wants for his church. We are called to be together, to be equal. You know, I think it's sort of, when we look to Jesus, we see the ultimate example of humility. And I'm just going to go over here. I sort of was thinking about that this week. Because if you take a look at this church building, okay, just this church building, and you see the high peaks in this church building, and it's sort of wonderful, isn't it? It's beautiful. And as I was walking up, and I was thinking about this message today, and I was walking up to this church, up the church building, I took a look around and behind me, and look, and lo and behold, what am I seeing there at the very peak where my eyes are pointing up towards? I'm seeing the cross. I am seeing, my eyes are naturally drawn upward to what? The cross. And that means that we naturally, just even by the shape of the building that we are worshiping in today, that we are looking up towards Christ. We lift him up in our worship. We want him to be exalted because he has shown us how to be humble. And how did he show us? The cross. The cross.
He lived with us for a while. He's taught us how to live. And later on, he died for us. And not a nice death either. The most humiliating death. That's humiliating. The humiliating death of being a criminal, which he wasn't. You see, we have a choice to change the way we live. We have a choice. Not just in the little things that we do, but we have the choice to make a fundamental change of who we are and how we live out what we believe. Because pride is in every one of us. It's part of our DNA. Okay, our DNA as fallen sinful human beings. It's part of our DNA. And so we need to be vigilant, and we need to interact with others, and we need to lift others up because we are on the level playing field with them. And only can there be community then. And that's important. Why? Because God's graciousness, because while God is gracious and while God is forever, his grace doesn't necessarily last forever. God opposes the proud. It says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5. When the Apostle Paul recalled his time, he was in front of King Agrippa, and he was recounting his time, talking about his own calling on his life when Jesus called him on the road to Damascus. And he said to King Agrippa, he said, "Listen, King." He says, "I was on the road to Damascus and Jesus told me, 'Hey, Paul, why do you keep kicking the goads? Why do you keep kicking the goads?'" Now, I had to look up what a goad was. There's a goad. A goad is a sharp stick that animal handlers would use. They would use the pointy end to direct the animal in the proper way, and the animal followed. But when the animal didn't want to follow, the animal would buck against the goad. Well, the animal would only hurt his or herself by bucking against the goad. And that's what Jesus was telling Paul. Why do you kick against the goads? Why do you do that? Because you're only hurting yourself, you see. Just follow me, says Jesus. Just obey. Just be humble enough to follow me. And so that tells us that the proud, the prideful, are stubborn. They don't want to listen to the words of Jesus. Remember last week when we were talking about when we had the introduction to this, we were talking about those who don't want to listen to Jesus. We were talking about the Pharisees who just didn't want to hear it. And we have people in our society, too, who just don't want to hear it. We all have a choice to make. Turn from our pride, and we need to turn from our pride. And we need to seek out and choose the humility of Christ. Because the time will come, and we don't know when that'll come. When Jesus will return, and in that time, all things are going to be right. And I don't know about you, but I don't want God to oppose me. I don't want to be the proud. I'd rather be the humble, following Jesus' lead. So we have a choice to make. It's important. It's an important choice, important enough for Jesus to show his ultimate act of humility. So what are we going to choose, folks? Pride or humbleness? Amen. Let's come to God in a time of prayer. Father, as we have struggled, as we struggle daily with the choices that we make, whether we realize our pride or not. Lord, help us to choose humility. And that could come in the form, Lord, of just changing some ways that we live. But help us to think about others whenever we make choices, Lord. Whenever we make even the smallest choices. Because sometimes, God, the smallest choices make the most fundamental impact on our lives and on the lives of others. Help us, Father, we pray, as we move through this season of Lent. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll sing.